George, you've been going through a couple of injuries lately. And a lot of people like looking at pickleball, you know, if you're driving past, you're seeing a couple old ladies play, you go, you know, how are you sore? Or why are you sore? Talk us a little bit about like, I guess the physicality in the endurance and actually how being an athlete does make a big difference in pickleball. I mean, it's taking a toll on your body.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a basket case myself, but more broadly, I think as the level goes up, the more physical it actually gets. It certainly doesn't look it to the average viewer on stream, but particularly around the kitchen line, there's, you know, you're constantly low, lunging, being wrong-footed by your opponents. It does take a decent amount of leg strength to get yourself in the right position so that you can put a ball back in play where you're not attacked. And I think if you really watch sort of the higher levels, particularly in the US, those guys and girls are not caught out of position too often. And that comes from being able to be a decent athlete. I think, you know, you talk about the length of the tournaments there. They are huge days. Like the Open starts at 7:30 in the morning. Most players are there right before 7 warming up. And if you're lucky enough to go deep in the draw, like you'd be playing till 1:30 in the afternoon. And then the MLP starts at 2:30. So you can sneak a sandwich in and then you got to get right back at it. For someone like myself who maybe doesn't practice enough, you know, you certainly feel it the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday after the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, we're not going to ask you because you're 15 and you're never, yeah. You should just be able to go, like, whatever. Like, no, this doesn't count for
after
you.
After she's drinking a few beers afterwards, I imagine you'd be a bit tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. My body usually is very, I just say that I'm not athletic enough to actually push myself that hard. But I do a lot of gym work to help like stop fatigue and the amount of movement that I'm doing on court. My muscles are going through nearly every single day because I'm training twice a day most of the time now, throughout the week, morning and night, and then gym on top of that. So I'm usually pretty fine. It's like mentally draining because you don't get a break. Most of the time you can't really eat. I find it hard, rather play, not on a full stomach.
With the gym training, just curious, do you ever do like movements, pickleball movements in the gym? Like, do you, you know, pick a weight up and try to work on making your wrist stronger, or are you just doing your basic normal gym routine?
So there are certain things that I do to try to strengthen my shoulder specifically because I had a weakness there, but now it's all good. But most of the time I'm usually doing your squats, deadlift. It's more injury prevention and sure. Developing muscle mass. So then you don't feel sore. I've hardly ever feel sore anymore because I'm putting my body through.
And it's because
so
you're 15,
stress.
Danny. Get over it.
I mean, look at Barry. He's been having knee injuries. He's younger than
Barry,
me.
Barry, that's true. That is true. That is true.
Barry.
So George, how is the injuries feeling now? Obviously, now with the new mustache, you would imagine you'd be invincible a bit.
Yeah, since I've grown the mustache, no word of a lie, my back has been in much better shape. Everyone knows I've had a back problem for quite some time. And I know I got to shave the mustache at some point, but part of me is like, is it attached to the back health? Like, what else could it have been? Because there wasn't anything that necessarily set my back. I've been putting in a lot of work and a lot of lifestyle changes and sitting up straight. Mm-hmm. That's what the lifestyle changes are, just sitting up straight.
Yeah.
But nothing in particular really fixed my back except the timing of the mustache.
It's just
now,
science.
I have to, just science. I have to call out our captain because I think before this season ever started, Adam Hall said he got Harry Potter vibes when he saw you. And now, do you still feel that way, Adam, even with the mustache? Or
no, I get mole cop vibes.
Good cop, bad cop, any cop?
Want to sit down and eat a donut sort of cop.
Oh. Yeah.
No, okay. But the hair, the cowlick on the hair, look at that. He just looks like, he looks very preppy, but I mean, just cover your face for a second. Just looking to camera over here. Look at that. He could be 12.
He
and
could
then
be
take
12.
It away. Fuck it.
Hey,
44.
He's 28 now.
44.
Is
not
that Wesley Gabrielson?
He's 44. Not allowed around any schools.
Yeah, I mean, the goal this weekend was to walk on court and to have the opponents looking at the mustache and sort of start 2 points ahead because they're like, what has he got on
his
face?
Or is he going to give me a speeding ticket?
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because I actually walked into the Brisbane tournament and I could, in my peripheral, I could see a lot of players and I just knew we kind of needed to get set up, you know, and stuff. And I kind of tried not to look at anybody. And I literally stopped and I talked to one player. It was George, because I'm like, dude, that mustache is amazing. And that led to the chat that I was trying to avoid, but I needed to because it commands respect. Look at that thing.
It's hugely impressive. Now, I got to get back to our captain. You said there was a controversial call that he made, because I don't recall that. Can you tell me? Because if he had that mustache, I'd be like, yeah, anything goes.
Whatever you say.
Well, there's actually kind of three parties in this room that can definitely commentate on it.
Oh, okay.
Because, commentate is the operative word. I was doing the commentary, boys.
Were you? Oh,
what an opportunity.
What an opportunity that was.
Yeah. Have you guys actually your silver medal on?
No, I just was a bit more humble. I tucked it in.
Smart.
I was like, I don't want people to know that I'm probably a better pickleballer than a commentator.
Yeah.
Because it would just be a bit weird.
Would be weird.
You look like you were in your happy place.
I did enjoy it. I did really.
You were
really
very good at it.
It was good. Have you guys actually listened back to watch that game?
Yes.
You have.
How
did you think I went, Danny?
That's good. I prefer your voice over other people's.
Prefer?
Oh, yes.
Did he say?
Actually, that's quite a controversial comment for
you.
Her
actually
to make,
sound like you know what you're talking about most of the time. Ooh, as well.
That's good. Did he say sensational at all?
No.
I really wish that was uttered when the commish was there, because I was thinking
sensational.
Maybe it would be possible for me to go to Melbourne. Maybe it would be possible for me to use my passport to go to Vietnam. Is the commish maybe going to send me an email one day saying, hey, Adam,
your voice,
I know you got a young family, but all expenses paid?
Yeah.
You have the voice for it.
I know.
You
got a voice the knowledge. Issue is I'm just going to call an early edit here, because I live to make fun of you and to hang shit on you.
Mm-hmm.
But you were actually really, really good at commentating.
Oh, thanks.
So that's an edit. That's a hard edit. Like, take that out. There's nothing, no part of the podcast, because I never want to be seen as to rooting for you or showing you any signs of encouragement.
Thanks,
from here
man.
On
I know
out.
Exactly how you feel, because I reckon on your birthday, I might send you a nice message. It's genuine,
yeah.
But I always still finish it like, and then I can't wait till tomorrow, mate, because it's back to the same shit.
Yeah, that's actually fair enough. Yeah.
Now, let's get back to the hindrance call.
Is that what it was? Okay.
It was a hindrance call. Now, potentially, you would do a much better job than me at explaining what is even a hindrance call, because I appreciate the kind comments, boys, but I was in the booth. The hindrance call happened. I knew what it was, but I had no fucking idea what the word was. Like, it just wasn't coming into my brain. So I'm there commentating with Dylan. I'm like looking at him going, if you know the word, say the fucking word. But there I was on my phone, like Googling, and I haven't listened back to it yet, but I kind of just mumbled and jumbled. What is a hindrance call, please, George Wall?
So Danny's just told me it was a distraction is the official term.
So okay. I said hindrance, and it's not even the right thing.
It's another thing, is it? Okay.
Oh.
But maybe I can just explain what happened.
Yes. And maybe tell us what the score was at the time, who's playing what.
So it's semifinal of the PPA Open Mixed. It's myself and Sarah Burr against Danielle and Joey Wild. And it's 11-11 in the third game. Sarah and I have already blown, I think, 3 match points by that point. I think I pushed a backhand roll long, and then I gave Danny just a meaty ball to just smack by me. And so anyway, we're in a pretty good point. I think we were on top, and then you guys fought your way back to the kitchen. Either Sarah or myself left one very, very high for Joey, and he goes to hammer an overhead towards my backhand side. It bounces, and as I'm about to play the ball, he starts yelling, yeah, really loudly.
Oh, like he won it. But did it hit off the net? Is that why he thought, or just angle he hit it?
He just started his celebration too early. If you go back and you watch the clip from 11-11 and you watch it at 0.25 speed as I did that night, because I felt I had to go and do it. He does start yelling before I hit the ball. And, you know, even if there's a 10% chance I make that shot, if it goes down to 9,
yep,
you know, I feel slighted. And so I immediately react and say, ref, he started yelling before I'd have my chance to hit the ball.
Fair. And did the ref know what to do?
The ref,
because if you said that to me, I'd be like,
the ref initially was like, what are you talking about? And then said, oh, actually, yes, that is what happened. And then brought Danny and Joey to the net and gave Sarah and myself the point.
Oh, should it give it a point, or should it be a replay?
If it's a hindrance, that means replay. If it's deemed distraction,
yeah,
then it's their point.
Right.
So it's up to the discretion
of
the
ref. And
what
did you feel at the time that he called it? What was your emotion?
I thought that it was very, very, very close, and for something to be given a point, it's, I mean, it's
at
a, it's
crucial
a
compa- point
it's
in
a
the com- game.
It's a competitive sport, right?
Correct.
So, like, George should do whatever he can to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, within, following the rule books.
Within yeah. reason, yes.
Yes.
Armand
said it was very funny. Can I just say?
Everyone was on the edge of their seat.
Yeah. Can I just say, I actually went up to, after the game, I don't know if you remember, I was solely in George's corner because I was commentating at the time, and I obviously was watching, and the celebration of Joey occurred before George was able to make contact with that ball on his paddle, and whether or not he was actually going to execute a shot that would have landed back in or could have been played on is up for debate. However, if the ball had an opportunity to be hit, he was certainly distracted by Joey's call. So I actually thought it was totally fair at the time. And what I more or less wanted to ask you about was, like, how did Joey's reaction impact you moving forward in that game? Because he made it so well known to you from afar that he hated the call, but knowing now, feeling vindicated, how did it actually make you feel at that point? Joey's a great guy, but by the same token, I feel like it kind of made you play in a different way going forward. You felt like maybe a bit unsure, or what? You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, after the match, Joey and I immediately chatted, and he said, you know, that was the right call, and he would have argued the same. Which he would have, and fair enough, it's competition. I felt like the crowd was on Joey and Danny's side after that moment, which, you know, it's unfortunate they saw it that way. But, like, again, watch it back at 0.25 speed and look at the way I was resetting the ball during the match. I mean, you know, there's a chance I put that in play.
You put it back, yeah.
That's the way it is.
No, that's fair, because I know when I call a ball out and the opponent's like, that was in. And I was like, hey, this is what my perception was. I thought it was out. I'm a bit like, the next one, if it's even close, I'm going to play it because I feel bad. Like, I definitely changes my game attitude at the time.
Yeah, I mean, overall, that's not actually going to bother me. You know, I've played enough tennis and college tennis where, like, you know, far, far worse has been said and happened. So I'm not super stressed about that, I think. Yeah, I think it was more just Sarah and I blew a few match points, and that's the way it is. And, you know, yeah, and you know, it fired you guys up, which maybe wasn't the best situation. But again, like, if you watch the tape back, like, I react immediately. You know,
yeah,
I've had enough people yell "come on" in my face.
Yeah,
even in the hour preceding that.
Yeah.
To know when something is yelled before I've hit the ball.
Okay.
So I think the right call was made. It was just, yeah, it was a tense moment in the match for that to happen, which otherwise I thought was like a really high level match, and I thought you and Joey played.
It felt
excellently.
Very high level.
And just going back, I guess, and it's going to be a question for you, Danny, going back to, I guess, how much of a toll these tournaments do take on you guys. I'm really interested, actually, because we've got two different backgrounds here. We've got your tennis background, George, and then we've got your table tennis background, Danny. From a physicality point of view, if I was to pick who's going to be able to handle the weekend better out of a tennis player and a table tennis player, I'm picking the tennis player all day long. Did you play any other sports growing up?
I've played probably any sport you can think of off the top of your head. But also,
name a few.
I've played cricket pretty high level as well, state level. I've played netball, a bit of soccer, basketball. I don't know. Just anything you can really think of.
Like that. Muck around stuff or actually for teams and on like, the weekend?
I've played netball like competitively within school.
Yep.
Within the netball excellence program at school. And then I used to play basketball after school like every day. And I would play soccer with like, and I've also played football, like rugby with the rugby boys and
all around athlete.
Fun. Yeah.
But table tennis, I would say, is a bigger toll than what people would think on your body, because At the tournaments, at nationals and everything, it's a seven day event tournament.
Right.
So you're playing from 9 a.m. start in the morning, pretty much nonstop until sometimes 10 o'clock at night. Whereas a lot of tennis tournaments, I feel, is you play a few matches a day at most. And yes, the matches are very intense, but you're playing nonstop one match at a time after back to back. And I think mentally it's really draining.
So being so fresh to pickleball and the background you've got, and you told us about how much training you're putting in at the moment and the gym component, just how much upside do you think there is to your game? What's your hopes and dreams for pickleball, having a taste of MLP this season, winning an MLP tournament, playing so well and winning mixed doubles tournament? Yeah. Like, what's your hopes and dreams for pickleball?
I'm hoping to play all the way to the level of going to the States and hopefully playing in a team over there and playing the PPAs and hopefully getting into the top 10, top 5 women players in America, in the world and whatnot. I was planning on trying to get to America this year, but the funds is one thing that's very hard to get. And then also partners and maybe a place to stay. Like, it's just one thing after another, and it's going to take time, and maybe I can build more strength here, then I can take it over to the States and maybe find some more help and get some better partners.
Mm. Well, if you need a place to stay in Florida, I got you. And if you ever need a place in California,
San Diego,
we got you. Sorted. Girl. My sorted. Mom and dad love Aussies.
Now, I got a good one. This is for both of you guys. A lot of controversy around paddles in the last couple weeks. Yes. Talk to us about some good old-fashioned illegal paddles.
Well, before we get into that, is it interesting that there's a new winner of the tournament when some paddles got taken away?
Oh,
I don't believe the Crocs were using any of the paddles that
not for this tournament.
They were going to, though.
Have you hit with so the paddle we're talking about is obviously the Yola, the Gen 3,
the Jola.
Yola.
Is that confirmed again? Yeah, I feel like we go over it every the Jola.
Pretty sure it's Jola.
No, I think it's Yola.
You gotta pronounce Yola.
Actually, let's ask the pros.
They want us.
Well, how do you guys want to say it? Actually, George Wall, you're about to make an official announcement on how this is pronounced.
Yula?
Okay. See, right. There you go.
Yula's, Yula? That's how in table tennis, everyone calls it Yula.
Ah.
It's a table tennis brand.
Okay. Adam.
In table tennis, everyone calls it Yula, and it's a table tennis brand.
Right.
And it's a European brand.
Okay.
So, George, tell us your
Gen
thoughts.
Gen 3, Yula.
It's
just on the whole.
First, tell us what happened.
Let's go through the play by play. I think ever since the Yula, Alpha, as it was originally branded, came out, and I think we should probably also throw the latest Gearbox paddles into the conversation as well.
Let's do it. I didn't know anything about the Gearbox, but are they involved with this?
Let's get involved.
And then we'll wrap it up by talking about the G-Spot.
And then, our paddle brand. Don't
these paddles are incredibly hot. They come off at, I've heard people suggest 50% more power than sort of the top of the range paddles that we saw in 2023. It's a little bit scary to be in front of one if you leave a dink a little bit high or your counter is in the wrong spot where someone can clean you up with it. I've been hit a few times. Your man Vish hit me with a Gen 3 paddle right before the tournament. He left a mark on my arm that was significant. I was just trying to warm back up, and he crosses. And anyway,
sometimes he's trying to get in the court. Yeah. He's just body shotting.
No, he's a nice guy. He's just such a nice paddles, these things are poppy. And like when I hit with a Yula Gen 3, like I can hit my tennis forehand. I didn't have a great tennis forehand. Like my backhand was my strength, but this thing rips. It comes off fast. It dips. It's a little bit scary. And then the Gearbox doesn't have the spin element, but comes off extremely strong. So happened over the weekend. There was some controversy in the US. The Gen 3 paddle came off the approved lifts from the US APA, something like that. And Pickleball Australia follows that list.
Yep.
And so the night before the tournament, a few teams were warming up and practicing. And the direction from Sanj was, if we don't hear anything by 7 p.m. our time, we're going to allow these paddles, which of course is 5 a.m. US East Coast time. So I thought, Sanj, no one's awake, but you do you. And so the paddles were allowed, and then come in the next morning for singles, which I wasn't there, but all of a sudden they're not allowed after the warm-up, and just the Yulas, not the Gearbox. But essentially these paddles are incredibly poppy. And I think one of the nice things about pickleball is it's a community sport where you can have, sort of very average athletes playing with good athletes, and it's a fun game and everyone can have a good time. If you leave me a ball high with a Jula Gen 3 paddle and I can collect it and hit it back at you, it is going to leave a serious mark.
Mm.
Whereas the other paddles that, you know, the previous technology, not so much. So it's sort of a decision for, you know, the powers that be to decide whether this type of paddle is a net positive for the game, or whether we want to, you know, other sports have done it with various technology, you know, limit what we want from our equipment.
Baseball does it. I heard someone else say something about baseball, how the professionals use a wood bat and the like younger kids use the metal. Mm-hmm. And I think it should almost be the same.
Well, let's we're going to call this the Danny George rule moving forward. You guys, yeah, make a statement on what you think should be allowed. Who can use these Gen 3s? Is there like a handicap? Like if your duper's below 4.3, you can go Gen 3. Go ahead.
I'm going to be out then after they get updated.
Here he goes.
I won't be allowed.
I'll make the rule.
I'll be licensed to kill with a Gen 3.
You are on record here. Like you guys go ahead. Make up the rule. What do you think's the right way?
I'll stay out of the tension at the table of who can use it. My personal opinion is you don't want the game to look like tennis. And I think there was a... If anyone really wants to go digging for something, you know, that kind of looks visually quite funny. There was a recent US PPA final, women's singles. I forget the name of the lady who won playing with the Jula paddle, but it looked like Sabalenka was out there playing at the Australian Open, the way she was ripping the ball from the back, running around forehands, taking it inside out. You know, that's not really what I don't think pickleball is designed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it could go in that direction, but the points are going to be, you know, either shorter or very, very long because you're a little bit afraid to speed up. I mean, I've totally changed my game when I see those paddles. Like I don't attack players that have them unless I'm in a really good position because that ball is going to come back so hot that I'm not going to be able to get my paddle there in time. You know, I don't think my hands are super slow. So, you know, it's a decision for the higher powers that, you know, want to take the game in a certain direction.
Did you see the video that Adam shared to us where a gentleman actually cut that paddle in half and you can actually see the
spring?
The spring it has inside of it. When I say spring, it's just like plastic, but when you squish it, it comes right back real quick compared to the other paddles have the honeycomb and you can't squish it at all.
These are fantastic paddles. Let's just put that out there. Yeah, like these things work, right?
Dollars,
you know, but it's a decision about what you want the game to look like visually and whether or not, you know, you can bring, you know, your 60-year-old grandparent and your 12-year-old daughter in the family to a game and they can play in the park with the locals. Mm-hmm. And for it to be, you know, reasonably safe without someone, you know, getting one in the face, because let's face it, the lower the level goes down, the less control is out there from the players, and you can get some rogue balls flying around. I don't think that's the best, personally.
I think just to like kind of round this conversation out, talking about, you know, trying to keep the playing field level and, you know, people who.
That is my people who.
Right.
Oh. It's people that use Jula paddles but don't say that they get 10% better when they use them.
Oh.
Because I know for a fact when I use a Jula paddle, I probably would – I get like maybe 20% better.
I will say clean ace. Ollie clean aced me 3 times with that paddle. Like it was gone. The serve
hit with Lucas
was gone. I was never gonna get there.
Just and Ollie had one of those in you know, Sydney and Auckland. Of course, that's the strategy. If you've got one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rip the ball.
That's,
you know,
the whole goal of it.
Just, do you want pickleball to look like that? Maybe not.
Just a quick straw poll amongst maybe just the hosts here. Does any of us hit with a Jula?
No.
Nope, not me.
I'm a Jula.
Oh, you've been, how long have you been cheating for?
No, I don't have the Gen 3. This is all about Gen 3.
Yeah.
It's about Jula, man. It's
hey, before Jula. You wrap this YOLO segment up, just quickly.
You guys forgetting one.
Yeah. What do we think? Say it is not approved. Right, it comes
which
back.
It isn't approved currently. But they're thinking about trying to get it approved.
Correct. Will there be? Do you think there should be a callback? So, I mean, these are expensive paddles. It's like a $380, $400 paddle. Do you think the normal everyday person should be able to get a brand new paddle.
Oh, absolutely. And I think coming back to the point I was going to make is, you know, if you turn up to a tournament to play and you're just a recreational player, say you're trying to win bronze in the futures like you boys were. But you've got one paddle. Like, how many of us own more than one paddle? None. How many of you guys over there have more than one paddle when you come to tournament? Well, you've probably got 2, 3, or 4 because you're playing at that professional level. So, like, if you're a recreational player, you turn up to play in the tournament we played in and you go to submit your paddle, because eventually that's where it's going to get to in Australia in our tournaments, and it fails the test, what do you do? You don't have a paddle to freaking play with. So, like, how is that fair that I've spent $440 and I can't even play the paddle?
But I think the other one too, like, you know, for example, these pros, so they're not all sponsored by EULA. What about the Selkirk guy? And then they all of a sudden they make Gen 3 legal, and then they go to Selkirk, go, hey, give me some illegal shit as well, because this is on and I can't. It's like we're going to do bare knuckle fighting, but this guy gets brass knuckles. Well, shit, at least give me the same.
Put one of those, like, mini trampolines on the side of my paddle so it, like, rebounds off. Give me that sort of technology.
Exactly.
If this technology remains allowed, like, by the time I play the next tournament, like, I probably have to use one, right? Like, you don't really have a choice, you know? It's kind of just saying, like, what kind of fighting are we doing here? You bring, like, a knife to a gunfight? Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably not going to work. But yeah, speaking about clawing back paddles, it is an interesting, like, business move from EULA, right? Like, yes, it's allowed, but you know there was going to be a ton of controversy, you'd think. I don't know. It's a peculiar one. I'd love to know the inner workings.
Just quickly on the paddles, as a coach for the first time, before every game, I did see the ref check paddles. What are they checking? Is it like...
It's just a formality. They're checking for, I guess, the USA approved logo.
Is that it? Okay. I'm sure they touched it a bit.
They have to touch the grit. They have to check that you haven't, like, put any
slick substance,
like, you haven't put substances on them, and you have to check that you haven't messed with the surface.
Yeah.
Because, of course, like, you have to have a certain amount of grit allowed.
I think in the US they obviously have, like, rigorous paddle testing. Here it's very much like scout's honor.
They didn't do it in our futures division. Did they check yours?
He looks like a scout leader now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk about unfair advantage, huh? That mustache.
I think we need I'd like to bring the VOD back up. Now, look, the commission's gone, Danny. Are you sure you don't want to drink? You got
to
drive.
I have to drive.
Yeah, okay. That's fine.
I'm 15, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, look, speaking about drinking, obviously the Slam Jam Tournament, boys, is all about it, right?
Oh.
And we just want to let you know, if you're a venue out there, the Slam Jam Tournament is currently homeless. We do have options, so don't pity us yet. But we are fielding inquiries. If you would like to host the Slam Jam Tournament and you're in the southeast of Queensland, we need you to not sell alcohol so that we can go and get our own liquor license and
provide it for free.
Part of the thing is we provide it for everyone. We're basically a charity.
And
we're not for profit.
And allow steroids.
Okay. Maybe not.
Not a good slang.
But Danny, before we were talking about your ode, your poem. Yeah. Would you please indulge us? Because I would love to hear what
is this written by you or ChatGPT?
Me. I would never let AI write anything for me.
That's interesting, because I haven't written a real sentence in like a year.
I don't think ChatGPT would know what Slam Jam is all about.
So let's bring it back. There's going to be a bunch of editing and stuff that needs to be done. But you've written us a poem. A poemish thing.
In her own way. Yeah.
She's got a very unique before style. You start to say why, what have you done here? What's going on? What was the reasoning behind this?
Well, I was asked to within, like, I don't know, 18 hours with a sleep in between these 18 hours. So 10 hours.
El Captain putting a little pressure.
I talent ID'd her again.
Uh-huh.
And she's a standout performer. I think pickleballer with multiple strings to their bow is worth celebrating. So
like
don't
Muhammad
let us
Ali.
Down.
Yes. Like Muhammad Ali.
Do you want an intro song? Because Colin performs
You can make me like a little theater intro song.
Don't you know it? We have a poet ready to go.
Fuck, that was actually good.
That was pretty nice.
Damn, I was just waiting for you to bomb again, but that was like 10 out of 10.
So I'm here for
gifted. He's gifted. So he's our Rain Man.
I'm so special.
Okay. Right. In all seriousness, this should be taken seriously. I don't know.
It's a bit of fun, but yeah. This is called the Slam Jam. The place it all started, my first taste of this sport, the Slam Jam competition, which everyone adores. The drunks smashing pickleballs, drinks and more. They have beer pong and flip cup, where the real battles happen more. Old farts sipping their tequila, watching the young farts run amok, scrabbling over who is the master of the cups. Three knuckleheads who are all boozing and running the show, playing their music while Karens are bitching in the kitchen, asking for it to be turned down. But the Slam Jam is for the loud, proud and brave, where body bags are encouraged, taken with a shot to ease the pain. For this is the competition where there are dinks, we have drinks. We will have your wife asking, what have you been doing all day? And this is what we'd like to say. The sun is warm, blistering down, skin burnt, dripping with sweat, which oozes the smell of liquor. Every last drop fills the air. For that's what quenches the thirst of every sore loser and the winning pair who must take their last breath of air, inhaling before the chug while everyone stares. Thousand drunks singing to help you go bottoms up, standing tall with the trophy full to the top. Time to drown your winnings in the blessed pickle juice. Tastes much more like beer. It's a wonder we didn't get sued.
This is the first ever standing ovation. This is the first ever standing ovation.
I'll take it.
By the panel. Wow.
So wasn't that bad. Wasn't that good?
That was so good. Danny, thank you so much.
I tried.
That was actually fantastic.
18 hours.
I reckon we just got new shirt slogans for nothing.
Imagine putting all that on the front of the shirt. Wow.
That's not going to help our lawsuit, though.
Dang, that was so good. I'm very impressed by that.
You can try and maybe take some lines out.
Yeah. I like the pickle juice one.
What a thoughtful chick, eh?
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Very good. No problem.
We did enter the merch game, boys. Didn't we?
We did.
Selling. Over the weekend.
Speaking of that, you got a sticker I can put on my laptop like yours?
I do. I got one in my bag, so I'll make sure I look after this.
Tell us more about the merch, though.
Yeah, we dropped some merch last week. We wore it to the tournament. We got some custom playing uniforms with personalized nicknames on the back. What did you boys think wearing your uniforms?
Well, it gave us a bronze. It wasn't very good.
I don't think it's got anything to do with your style.
Growing up as a kid, I was always a Nike boy. So to see the Nike on my chest, I felt like
they're
a
authentic.
Yeah,
it's Nike
authentic.
Park 7T.
And then the back had all the air vents. I was breathing out the back. Yeah. It's just my partner was just holding this back.
Well, they're proper sports apparel. Well, we want to say a big thank you to those who have already ordered because we are the People's Podcast Boys. So you're going to get a name drop right now. We got Yushay Hesh.
Oh!
David Yang.
David, did he get the Slam Jam Social Club one?
He not only got the sports playing uniform, Colin, but he actually bought one of the Social Club, Slam Jam Social Club. So we've got two different types of shirts. So you're going to have to keep an eye out.
I might have made that one.
Oh, yeah. And then we've also got Mitchell Brazier, the Masan family.
Oh.
Sold out.
And then the Huynh family.
Wow. Thank you guys for the support.
Thank you so much for the support, guys. You're absolute legends. If you're wanting to get your hands on your very own Slam Jam, the podcast, custom playing uniform, then our first order will close on Friday, the 31st of May. To order yours, jump onto our Instagram and head to the link in our bio to place your order online. It's that easy. All right. Well, you players, you've done an exceptional job coming in today. We hope you've really enjoyed it. We really, really do.
Like,
we've enjoyed watching you guys so much. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to be mainstays for years to come in this tournament. Can you just maybe touch on a couple of moments that you're, you know, proud of individually and maybe, I guess, proud of or that you want to celebrate somewhat about the tournament itself?
And George, you start, George, because I also want to hear a nice little people who out of you.
A nice little what?
A people who.
A people who.
Yeah. But go on with all the things Adam said as well.
No. We might as well. People who. We hate the things these people do. It's tough.
No, I know. I said I'd come here and be a reasonable guy.
No, we want the juicy details.
I'll think about it when Danny gives her answer.
That's fair. I'll give the jingle again too, by the way.
Yeah, I think to round it out, I'd love to give my whole team a shout out. Michaela Hayat, Talia Saunders, and Ollie Gray. Really, really proud of the way the three of them hung in there all season. Despite things not really going our way early on. And I think they just got better every single tournament. And as a captain, as someone who picked them, you can't really ask for much more than that. And I'm so glad that we all came together and played exceptionally well this weekend. You know, I think three tournaments is not that many events. It, you know, you can't really get your teeth sunk into it. I would love to play more with that group. So, happy we played well towards the end, and you know, kind of sad that it's ending. And I guess a special shout out to Talia for battling through a little bit of sickness this weekend, like the rest of the tournament. But she was pretty banged up, so you know, she called me Saturday morning and said, or Friday morning, and said, oh, you know, I'm not feeling well. I said, you're getting on court, so there are no alternates that are as good as you. And she did an exceptional job. So. I tell you what, I'll hand it over to Danny.
People I'm proud of. I don't know. I'd like to say, like, my whole team, I think we really brought it every single time. It almost felt like as soon as we said it, like, stepped out on court, people were, I don't know, felt like they were a little bit, like, afraid of us. Like, no one really wanted to play us, I think, because we always brought that energy. Like, we were there to win. Mm. Like, it wasn't really an option for us losing. And, like, I really think that came out. Like, we went into Brisbane being like, we're winning this. Even, like, Sarah said it. She's like, I'm not losing this time. Like, I've had enough of it. And, like, we did progressively get better and better as the tournaments went on, as the season went on. I think we won the best one you could win. The last one is the one I think is the most remembered. And someone that I'd really like to shout out is Lucas. That kid was vomiting his guts up.
He threw up on the court.
Whole tournament, no, he would finish a set, go vomit, and he'd be like, oh, I'll be back in a second. He's like wiping off his face, like he's just been vomiting his guts up, like in between sets and like on timeouts. And then he's just back on court, still performing.
Mm-hmm. I remember my first tournament, I got super nervous like he did. I'm just kidding. I think he was battling some food poisoning potentially. Definitely big respect to him. Every time I seen him leave the court, he had a vomit and then came right back on.
Just tackies.
And you know, it's very tough to talk to someone while they're doing it. Like, hey, how you feeling? It's like, oh, not that good. I'm like, okay, good luck. Mm-hmm.
You need some support in there, buddy. I'll come and cheer you up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll round it out with a nice people who. Okay. I came in.
Was we don't give, normally do nice.
I know, but I did want to give a shout out to who I thought was the most improved player of the season.
Love that.
Not one on my team, but a special shout out to Casey Rogers, the international from Canada. I think the difference in her level from when you and I played her in mixed in Sydney to Brisbane, I think she stayed here the whole time, worked on a game, tried a bunch of different things, and. You know, I think the Vipers, I don't think they got one in Sydney and since then came out.
But then they got a coach.
They got a coach. Yeah. They made the quarters of Auckland. And I think her and Andy had two really good mixed wins this weekend. So, you know, special shout out to her. And very clear that she went away and she put in some good work. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that I think should get noticed.
People Absolutely. Who improve.
And and that's your people. That's how nice. This is honestly, some guys are so fucking nice. It's annoying.
He's not actually that nice. It's just if he lets it out, then.
He puts his evil mustache on and he's still like the nicest guy you've ever met.
I gotta now change the jingle. Fucking just for hell. Him. People who, we love the things these people do.
Well, you know what?
And then glitter. Because that means she might start beating him.
That's fair.
We'll see how nice he is, boys, when her name comes up on the draft list. Oh, and if he bypasses it, what a motherfucker.
Oh, actually, no. quick last question for George. Just give us a new draft coming up, man. What a different picture to look at, right? You're knowing most of the names, and anyone new who's coming in, someone that's in the league has a story about them and can give – genuine feedback on their thoughts. Give us something.
I guess, or maybe when we say something like your strategy, it do you because you're a male captain, do you have to automatically pick a female?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's, you know, percentage wise, I'm probably going to do that. I think the male talent list at this stage is a little deeper than the female talent list. But new season, I expect some new international names to come in. I think they will be easier to assess than last season, just because we've had more exposure with players from other countries. I think the Australian players and the players that were just in the league are now even better known. You know, the MLP format, it makes you play under a lot of pressure. And I think we saw who can tolerate that pressure and who can't. But yes, as far as like draft plans and draft strategy, you know, I'm not gonna say anything. You know, it's complete misinformation season.
Yeah.
Anything that comes out of my mouth is probably gonna be needed to like discounted.
Would you ever think about like in baseball we call it a utility person? They could do two positions. So would you ever think about a coach slash player?
A coach slash player. I think.
Oh, where would we find one?
Oh, I don't know. My agent turned into a coach in probably 24 hours.
I think for 10 out of the 12 teams, I think that was actually the captain role.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So what you're saying is he should be captain of the Beanley butt plugs.
Sandra, you listen to this? All right.
That logo of the Beanley butt plugs.
I've already sent it in the group chat.
Is Dave Schwartz on it?
He's on it.
Okay. He's on the graphics, not on the butt plug.
Very good.
I have a last question for Danny. Now, I would imagine you would have known your duper score before you started the tournament, or it was brought to your attention.
Yeah, I know somewhat what it is.
What it is. So were you, after every tournament, looking to see if it went up or down at all? Because you're fairly new to the sport, and that kind of dictates.
I don't pay that much attention to my duper.
Oh.
I knew that was your vibe. I was like, this is a bad question. She's so chill.
Yeah, like.
So chill. Well, Adam over here.
No, it's something I did notice on the stream. They had my singles duper on there for some reason. That was something noticeable on all of them.
Yeah, there's a good screenshot, actually. I sent it to Joey. It had Joey Wild on there, and it had his duper at 5-2. I think it's good amount higher than that, but it had him as left-handed, and you know, I feel bad. I'm sort of shitting on the video crew here, who clearly got their ordering of the spreadsheet wrong, or however it's fed into. And it said his hometown was Mumbai, India.
I know, he gives me those vibes. He gives me those vibes.
We need that.
And you know, if you're on his close friend's Instagram story, doesn't look like the reaction any of you boys are. That's a shame. He had a really good post about it. So, maybe we'll get him to
I
want to,
I got a scoop, but I have a question for each of you before I go. And the question is, who in the MLP would you get the most satisfaction out of body bagging?
Maybe like this. Who's the smallest target and the fastest?
Who are you looking forward to body bagging the most? You go in a team huddle. You're like, hey guys, we're up by a fair bit, and I really want to hit this person.
That's a good question. You're trying to be nice about it. So someone
George is going to put sprinkles on this somehow, but we're not going
to. I'll say who my favorite person is to body bag, but I also body bag them a lot.
Well, let's hear it.
It's Ollie. Oh. Ollie is the easiest person to body bag in the league. Bird.
Happy birthday,
Why
Ollie.
Is that? He's just flat-footed.
He's a big target, and he's trying to cover, always trying to cover so much court.
I love that.
But he's my favorite person to body bag, and I actually think there was a time me and Ben, I think it was in our teams match in the final of MLP, me and Ben made a bet about how many times Ollie is going to get body bagged, and I bet 6 body bags and he bet 4. There was 5.
Oh.
I think. So. Wow.
That's fine. Over to you, George. George, who would you most like to body bag?
I don't have someone in particular, but I will say on the back of that answer, I did try to tag Alex Fairbanks pretty hard in that final at one point. We were down 15-20. And, you know, things weren't going well, to be honest, in that men's dubs. I felt like Fairbanks was, you know, playing very solid, a little bit more solid than Ollie was cross court. And we needed to win that pattern because obviously couldn't attack Roman's gearbox paddle.
So
I tried to tag Fairbanks pretty hard and he put his paddle out, but he missed it. Which is a shame. My ball hit the back fence. Like I went after the forehand.
Can't see. He's blind. He can't drive.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
I like the guy though.
Alex can't drive in his hometown. He's legally not allowed to.
Wow.
People who?
Yeah, that's
people
for sure
who can't drive in their hometown.
All right. Well, we want to say a huge thank you to both Danielle Townsend and George Will. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so much for giving us something to talk about every tournament. We've really enjoyed watching you play, and we're going to enjoy watching in season two. That'll wrap us up, boys. How did you feel doing this for the first time? We're not professional podcasters, but we might be on our way.
I tell you what, man, I feel like a bronze medalist right now.
I like this new studio we got here. This is hopefully we can keep affording this with the purchases that we're going to be getting for our merchandise.
Well, if we can sell some more merch, we'll be back. Yeah. If you see us coming out of the old studio, then sales have taken a nosedive. We need more families purchasing. We really appreciate that Masan family Masan and the wins.
Family.
We need
family, yes. Daddy family. And just keep make sure you're following us on Instagram. We're going to be a little bit more live. lively, as we say. But look,
that is
we're
the worst
we're sort
lingo,
of,
yeah, 39 year old.
I know, 39 year old. Yeah, by the way, so Adam, so I finally figured out how to do Instagram live on just the Slam Jam podcast. So I was in the car with Kyle Watnall and Jay and Gribbald, and we were having a chat like in the car, and then all of a sudden, like it was screwing up. Like I was getting a call, but this hacker figured out how to like hack into my live thing and just totally ruined it.
Figure out. It's an actual option. You're such a dinosaur when it comes to Instagram, eh? You got no idea.
He can't even sign up for Swish.
Anyway, just make sure you guys add me on MySpace and send me a DM.
Don't send him any messages. He won't read or reply for about 3 months. Thanks so much, guys. We'll be back for season two. The draft isn't too far away. Thank you so much to all our listeners, and we'll see you for season two.
Bring on the draft, baby.
Thanks, everyone.